$100, but it was just something to try to keep them from being too hungry, if you know what I mean. But now the money's come, and when I go back, we'll have some projects for the Santa Cruz people. And in the meantime, they are becoming Christians and being baptized, and we're so grateful for this. To go to Baja Church, many times I passed in front of a city called Calumbi, and everybody told me Calumbi is an atheistic city. They will not hear the gospel. They've never heard the gospel. But between Baja and Calumbi, there was a terrible shooting about 2.5 years ago. A young boy shot his sister, a beautiful young girl of 16, and I got there shortly afterwards. It was a terrible thing, and the people were just coming in from all sides, screaming and yelling to God. It was an opportunity for me to calm them down and to have a seminary student that was with me to read the Bible and for us to pray together. And the next day when I went back, I took my pastor and a deacon, but they both said to me, "Don't count on us today. We're not good at this sort of thing." I wouldn't say I'm good at it, but I've had a lot of experience with it in Friendship House. And it was another opportunity. It was a multitude, let us say, of people at that little girl's funeral. The brother had shot himself, but he was still alive in a local hospital at the time of her funeral. I asked for permission to do the funeral service. Because of that funeral service, the director of the high school in Calumbi called me in, and she said, "I was at the funeral service, and you have something to offer. Whenever you want to come to my school, you may come. It's a high school of 400 students. And in Calumbi today, we have a thriving Baptist church growing on the city square. Sometimes for our children's worship service, we have 150 children. For our student work, we have around 40. And God is blessing our work in Calumbi because God opened another door of opportunity for us. Florida's was a city I thought I couldn't possibly go in. Florida's is an old, dying city, a city in whose history there's a lot of blood and dust, and it's hot and dry. There's just nothing beautiful about Florida's. And my pastor said, "I can't stand Florida's. It's too hot. It gives me a headache." Florida's had been left by Baptists for almost 20 years when God pushed me into Florida's. I'm sorry to say he had to push me to take that opportunity. But in Florida's, we have a wonderful church growing. One day I asked him what we were going to do about a church building. I just said very gently to him, "Lord, you know, we're in this old building where I'm having to close the door when it gets shut and then open it again for a second congregation. It's about time we had a church building, isn't it?" And an unwed mother came in right after I said that to the Lord, and she said, "The grandfather of my children has a house for sale down the corner that would make a wonderful church." I thought, "Lady, what do you know about a church?" But I went, and you know what? That's our church today. We bought it for a little over $1,000, and we remodeled it with a little over another $1,000. And we have a nice church with Sunday school rooms and room at the back to build a house for our workers someday. And the other day I couldn't get there, and it was hot Thursday afternoon. When I do go, it's on Thursday. But my three teenage workers went, and they had 188 that afternoon. That's Florida's for you. The people are very different from what they are in Triunfo. They are thirsty and hungry for the gospel. Pray with me that God will give us some permanent workers for Florida's. Every place out there is like this. There's just such a need, and nobody has ever been out there since our Bible school closed in 1958 in Triunfo because of lack of water. All the workers left, and now I'm going back and picking up where people left so long ago. In Canaan, it's just a village, and when I first went back Canaan, somebody said, "You will never go in here, Don Adichie, because they will persecute you." But I've gone into Canaan for different reasons, and one day there was a funeral procession on that country road near Canaan, and I stopped in respect, and the men, they were all men carrying a body toward the cemetery, and when one man looked over at me, he sang just very briefly under his breath, "Hosanna, Hosanna," which is a little song I sang in the film all of my life with the children at Friendship House, and I had sung it in their city village square, and this man had recognized me with that little song, and I thought, okay, man, I'm coming to your village. And so we have just recently bought a building to make a church in Canaan. I didn't have enough money, and I was in a real bad tide about it just about 6 weeks ago. I said, Lord, what am I going to do to get that million crusaders that I need, which is about $1,000? There's just no way. If I could write a check, there's no place I could cash it. There's no way that anybody could give me this money from America. There's just no way I can get this money, so I'm going to lose the building. And I'm sick. I can't go to prayer meeting tonight. What am I going to do? I have to have this money by Friday. You have said that you will supply all of our needs in Christ Jesus. It's not for me, it's for you. So you'll have to do it. I can't do a thing about it. After prayer meeting, some girls came by the house and they said, the deacon of your church wants you to call him. So I called him and he said, how much money do you need for Bible school? I said, oh, we're going to need about $25. He said, okay, send and get it. Well, I knew we had $2 as a balance in our church at last church meeting. So I knew that money was going to come out of his pocket because we just didn't have any balance that month. And then he said, I hear you're needing some money for Canaan. How much money do you need? And I said, I need 1,000,000 crusaders, sir. But if I can't have it, I'll just lose that chance. It'll just go by. He says, no. You come by my house tomorrow, and I'll give you a check, and you can go into Seha Taliada and take the money out of the bank. My brothers and I have been saving back tithes money, and we'll give this to you. I said, I'll pay it back to Triumphal Church. He said, no, just leave it in Canaan. My dear friends, you don't know what a miracle that is. To get that much money all of a sudden from Triumphal Baptist, it was really something. All I could do was say, thank you, God. You supplied that need. And so we dedicated our building in Canaan a few weeks ago with 188 people present. Some of the children came on ox carts, and many people came walking, and many people came on bicycles, and it was a wonderful day. One day, I was taking a girl home, and I was taking her to a community where I'd never gone, and I said to the Lord, I don't want to see any other places. I have my hands full. Every day is Sunday. If you who are in pastor's homes know what I mean, I already had 6 congregations. And my radio program on one day to get into the homes where I couldn't go with church work. And I said, if you don't mind, I don't want to see anything in this community. Don't let me see another field of service. And so I went in this place called Lagoa de Dentro. And I just saw the world just opening out, just a whole nother world. I said, Lord, I don't want to look at anything else. I have seen more opportunities than I can take care of. And so the people we'd pick up along the way, I'd offer them tracts, and I'd say, would you listen to the radio program on Tuesday at 7:30 in the morning? And they'd say, we don't know how to read, and we don't have a radio. We have a preaching point in Lago de Dentro. And the last time we had more than 50 present, and we have around 23 new Christians in that neighborhood. There seems to be no end to the world. There are just so many places to go. And then a young boy was killed. He was shot, 17 years old, along this rugged mountain that's as beautiful as anything you've ever seen along the Rocky Mountains. His father's name is Jesus, and it does something to me to call a man Jesus. But I went to see this singer, Jesus, and he hugged me, and I could tell he hadn't had a bath for over a week. And he said, I have not eaten or taken a bath since my boy was killed. I wish the man had killed me and not my son. This man had built a house right along the most beautiful scenery I have ever seen in Pernambuco. Today in that house, we have a preaching point for young mountain children. And we have about 33 new Christians. We call it our preaching point, Brocotol. In front of my house, there were multitudes of people every day waiting for what we call an emergency work plan. It's kind of like the old WPA, We Poke Along program we used to have long years ago in Virginia. It's just something to get some money so that you don't starve to death. They get around $15 a month for working, and that doesn't buy much more there than it would buy here. And these multitudes of people were right outside of my door waiting to get enlisted in this program. One day when I went down, someone said, "Give me a drink, lady." I didn't have any water either. There are months I haven't had any water in my house. But I took a big old 20-liter glass jug, and I went and got water at a place where I knew that there was water. And I came back, and I got three glasses, and I passed out water as fast as I could, forgetting all about germs and sanitation. Those same three glasses, until I had no more water in that 20-liter jug, but everybody had had a drink. That's how thirsty also the people are for the gospel. One day I was mingling in this multitude, giving out tracts as fast as I could, and I said to this particular group of people, "Where are you from?" And they said, "Jericho." I said, "Lord, not another place." And the man said to me, "Where is the nearest church to Jericho?" Well, when I go back, I've got to go to Jericho. And then a man came by and he said, "When are you coming to Jatiuca? We have been asking you to come for 3 years. You know, we listen to your radio program, but we want you to come and tell us about Jesus." So when I go back, I still have Jericho and Jatiuca, and I may not look up anymore. I don't know. There are so many opportunities, so many cities and counties with no gospel message, so many people who have never heard to understand, to know really who Jesus is. I praise God for the privilege of living in the now chapter of my life. At last mission meeting, they put me on a strategy committee. I was remembering that long-range planning committee, and I said, "No, I just have 2.5 more years right now." And I said, "I shouldn't be on any long-range planning committee." "Yes, you should." And they said, "We're not calling it long-range planning now. We're calling it strategic planning." Well, I'm in that strategic part of my life, as many of you are. When what we're going to do, we've got to do right now. Now is the time. Now is when they need us. Now is when they're hurting. When life gets stewed down to the last years of our lives, what else matters more than evangelizing someone who has never known him? What matters more than going to someone who's terminally ill? What matters more than telling a little child about Jesus? What matters more than training a young person to take up the work and take it on? Thank God for the opportunities that he gives to us in every chapter of our lives. I wish now that when I had been your missionary in Esserville and Norton, out in the coal mining area, I had known what I know now. I worked pretty hard. I had three places where I had Sunday school and church. But when I was thinking about it the other day, I believe that now at 62, I do at least three times more than I did out there. We're not in a contest to see who can do the most, but there are so many opportunities when we use them for the Lord. So we must look up and look out on the harvest, and not only pray to God that he'll send more laborers to that harvest, but pray God for strength and intelligence to make the most of every opportunity. Thank you, Virginia W. Mew, for caring, for giving, and for letting me be your missionary these years. Thank you for still praying for us. And thank you for working with me here in Virginia, because sometimes they have an idea out there in Brazil that everybody in Virginia is a Christian. I'm glad I can think those ladies there, Virginia W. Mew, are doing the work in Virginia that I'm doing in Brazil, and we're real partners in it.